projects like the Hilton or BNTC Oil available locally, and it was said that the government's intention was foreign exchange. So that's one of the reasons why they were looking really for an external buyer. And I think that is a fundamental point.
That tells us that things are so dire that you're willing to, I mean, if the price that mm-hmm. we are being quoted about or talked mm-hmm. about is right, mm-hmm. Things are so bad that you need to grasp at any kind of foreign reserves that you can get, you know, because the best thing to do to get the best value for any company is to put it on the open market and let
You know, crawl out from right. You know that things there. you're sleeping.
That's
a query.
He
wants a sudden.
Yes, Corey, you have kept me here for too long.
The other point that must be made, I think, is pretty interesting in terms of the value of Hilton. It was also pointed out to me during the break that a lot of these things are sold based on income value and not actual value. So if you look at the emotional value of the sea, the sun, the property and all of that is one thing. But the example used was, like, for instance, if you were buying an apartment, four apartments, they made $800 a week, $3,200. The mortgage you would get is based on the 32 and not necessarily the property and everything itself.
The market value.
The market value. So right. that must go into consideration with the Hilton. But I just wanted to flag
like
that.
It should be on the market and not be between two people, the government and the individual.
I can't argue that at all. So let's go over the telephone lines, though, at 1 minute after one. Hopefully we can get in Dr. Maskell between now and the finish line. But let's take some calls with Philip Odell, Asakori Beckles, and Shane. Good afternoon, Brastat Sunday. You are on the air.
Hello.
Hi. Dr. Maskell.
Welcome.
Hey, how are you doing?
Fine, thanks. And you, sir?
Cool.
All right, I don't know if you've been following the discussion, but basically we're looking at the Barbados economic position for 2018 and where do we go from here. There's been some focus on what do we do with the public sector and, of course, the falling reserves, the weak reserves at 6.6 weeks, holding at $410 million at the end of 2017. Of course, we want to hear what would be your position from here, and where can we go from here? Do we just, you know, wait for the crash, or is there something that we can do to turn this Titanic around?
Before you know where you can go, you need to know what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Are you sure we understand what has happened?
Not many.
So we need to know what has happened first.
Mm-hmm.
And the real elephant in the room, this was a fiscal crisis initially. It has now become an economic crisis because of the absence of the foreign reserves.
Yes.
The accumulation of debt.
Foreign debt.
The lack of growth. No, our debt is mainly domestic.
That's not a problem, Clayton.
Yeah,
you know,
well,
that too.
I mean, it's not a problem. Who said that?
But
that's Philip Waddle.
Look. That is ignorant.
Let me keep to the issues.
Yeah.
Like, you know, y'all could meet in the run shot with that later. No, yeah. Let me go.
But the words
not be important.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? The domestic debt is what currently has us in this problem. That's why you're not getting any payment on your interest at deposit. The printing of money causes the deterioration of foreign reserves. The absence
of the central bank's foreign reserve holdings
sector,
or the foreign reserves
the public
overall.
Sector growth program causes the lack of growth in the economy. So how could you say domestic debt is not important? Who said
that? This is not important. It's
where
not
does it come
issue.
From?
An issue.
Hold a minute, Dr. Maskell. Where are you saying it's not an issue? Explain to us why it's not an issue.
Not an issue, not important. There's a difference, man. You know
he
that.
Mean it's not a foreign issue, a foreign reserve.
Or
so
the issue with the foreign.
That
okay.
They're speaking two different things, actually. They're speaking two different things.
I will shut up from here on out, though. I will not say another word.
Right. Nobody debt has caused the problems that we have. You can't say that domestic debt is not important.
He says it's not an issue, not that it's not important.
It has created the printing of money at the central bank. The printing of money is responsible for the fall of the reserves.
All right, I want for listeners to be able to get something from the discussion. So, Philip, let's hold on. Let's get Let's get Dr. Maskell's position, and then
idea.
We can question him after.
Well,
so,
anything,
Dr. Maskell, just give us quickly how we got here, which is, as you say, is important. It was more important for me is where do we go from here, but just give us the context.
Yeah. Well, the thing is the earning of foreign reserves, which can come in different ways. You can either export to earn foreign exchange, or you can borrow money from abroad or you can have investment. The two major categories of the economy are consumption and investment. The government from the 2008-2009 said that it is trying to restrict consumption of Barbadians, so therefore we have not seen any increases in salaries.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Right?
We have seen the imposition of taxation. And this was to reduce the level of disposable income in the hands of Barbadians.
Mm-hmm.
And the intention was to protect the exchange rate. However, notwithstanding all of these measures, we have seen a deterioration,
yep,
a considerable decline in our foreign reserves. It therefore means that the major object or objective of the policies has not worked.
Mm-hmm.
You agree with me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
Everybody
now,
agrees.
The thing is, where do we go from here? Even though we have had so-called record levels of tourist arrivals, we are still not seeing the accumulation of foreign exchange. But part of the problem is that we have gone for discounted tourists. We've gone for numbers, not quality tourists. So we're not seeing the inflow of foreign exchange as a consequence of that. We have benefited on the other side of the coin, which is that we managed to restrict our import. And this was said recently by the central bank governor.
Mm-hmm.
Notwithstanding that, the restriction that we have seen is on the consumption side. But remember, people were blamed for this, their consumption pattern. So we had individuals bringing Mercedes and still telling Barbadians that they're eating the wrong things.
Yeah, right? Agreed.
But on the other side, the capital side, we have seen the complete absence of foreign investment into Barbadians.
I want to interject. Let me interject here a minute, Clay. During the break, there was about Sapper just before the break that spoke about the discounted, the $150 tickets bringing people here backpacking and mm-hmm. so on, right?
Right.
And a former chairman of the Board of Tourism, he called me during the lunch, mm-hmm. and he said, you know, that is not true. What really, they've always done that. The government brings the people here is really the private sector to get the money out of their pockets. And what he has observed from that position is two things. A lot of the businesses are foreign owned and managed, and they're keeping the money overseas. And even the local people are not patriotic. They're keeping the money where the tour operators operate from overseas, and they are not sending it into Barbados. What is your take on that?
Mr. Lane, he doesn't have any idea of that. He's speculating.
Yeah.
No, he could be right, but he doesn't know for certain.
Mm.
Can he prove it?
By the end of the show, he can tell you he can prove it. But go ahead.
Tell you that he's speculating. But, that, he has so much evidence, he should be able to
provide it.
But what I can say here quickly, just another Clyde and Corey, is that's also a policy issue, you know. And the fact that if you're concerned that some of the receipts are not coming into Barbados, you can legislate almost and mandate that, let's say, accountants, if they are accounting for any receipts, that company must bring all their receipts into Barbados. Mm-hmm. And I don't think, Clay, you can correct me if I'm wrong, or Mr. Odo, that
no,
it is
maybe
not...
I can't correct anybody but anything.
But you could correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think we currently have that is mandated that those receipts must come into Barbados. Because I know personally that there are businesses that have said to me that they before the 2%, they used to bring the money into Barbados. And because of that, they leave the money outside. Mm-hmm. I mean, because obviously no one wants the extra money being taken out. So it has no being a disincentive to bring money into Barbados, because when you do have to send it out, you prefer an international account rather than a local account.
I think they're fearing a devaluation, but they end up causing one. That's what it looked like to me. But that's what the guy is speculating
is true.
That's
confidence. That's confidence.
Yes, go ahead.
Tell Philip he doesn't have to get defensive with me.
Man, too, y'all
get
hug up ready, sure, Dad. In the interest of time, we got to continue, though.
But one thing to you is that the other thing, though, is that you see that wonderful period we had prior to 2008 on the foreign exchange side?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Apart from the tourism and everything else, there was a lot of confidence in terms of investment into Barbados.
Mm-hmm.
But can you recall in 2008 what the things were spun around, that you don't need any foreign investment? You remember this?
I remember what was spun around is that a lot of our foreign direct investment was through real estate, and that we were selling off the land. I remember that big
selling
noise in Barbados.
Yeah.
But that's really irrelevant.
Mm-hmm. That's what that was the discussion, you know, that a lot of that...
So Barbados got money to buy it back? all the had money in the first place to buy. Man, again, those are those
and they still got a lot of open properties to buy too, and they got a lot of land to buy.
The law for sale signs.
Politically, you understand? Yeah. But what has happened now, from the perspective of philosophy, is that we have found ourselves in a region where, because of the openness of the world,
correct,
right? Because of the openness, we need foreign investment more than ever.
Yes.
And the notion that small countries in the region, having come out of slavery and then went through the period of the 1930s and then became independent and could ride on a ship on their own is joke.
It's joke, yeah.
Barbados will never have enough savings to be able to inspire the investment that we need.
No, you don't believe that. We need savings to inspire investment, Clyde. But anyhow... I don't run with you on that one. That we need is saving, but, or save things. We need saving, but not saving.
Let me hear you, fellow. So explain what you mean to me. Teach me here now.
No, I could actually. I would.
No, right.
I ought not to, because Clyde, if I say saving and savings, you would understand the difference.
Right.
So yeah. I would not bother with that, because we're not just dealing with us here.
Yeah, remember we have a layman.
Yeah, right. Layman kind of thought.
But you also got to convert. You also got to convert whatever accumulates in banking system into opportunities for investment.
Correct. Have we ever done enough of that? No argument. No, that's why I said. Let me back off of that.
Mr. Vasquez, sorry I brought you in so late, but the question you said in terms of growing the foreign reserves, we need to export, borrow, or invest. I wanted to take out borrowing because we have already heard that, you know, unless we borrow from like the IMF or the CDB, we can go borrow at 12.5%. Right? Mm-hmm. We can't look at that right now. Mm-hmm. So in terms of the investment and the export, the question I want to ask you four gentlemen to close the show with really is to how can we get the exporting and the investing going on right now? I mean, let's get on the brass tacks. Let's talk straight, shoot from the hip.
Yeah, the first thing is that the environment, the policy environment has to be consistent.
Mm-hmm. Policy.
From day to day, an investor needs to know that, you know, what is going to happen up ahead.
Right.
But need profitability up ahead.
Right. But if today one thing is in position in terms of a fiscal environment, and then next week you change it, and then come the next day you come and change some other tax system, and then you decide that you're desperate, so you're going to introduce a foreign exchange fee. And then you get desperate and you say, well, listen, let me move the 2% NSRL to 10% without any justification. It is the most foolish, ignorant tax ever introduced into Barbados. You understand? And that's a fact. And therefore, it does not lend for confidence. So therefore, the fiscal environment, the entire economic environment has to be one that encourages people. And it has to come through certainty. It must be simple, and there must be clarity in terms of your environment for investing. Those three words there have not applied to the environment in recent times.
Since
and therefore, people have not been inspired to invest in this country, even though prior to then, there was substantial inflows, and we needed them, right? So we need to return the country to a state where people have the confidence.
Certainty,
and to
confidence.
And do so internationally, you must top your international credit rating from being downgraded. And that's why, Philip, my friend,
that's hard.
You have, therefore, to defend on your internal front and attack on the external.
Shane, what's your take on all of this?
Corbin, that's good.
I'll agree that you certainly need to inspire confidence. You need an easier way to do business as well. I spoke a bit about Jamaica earlier. Jamaica, I think, was in 2015 or 16. Had the best performing stock exchange in the world, not the Caribbean, the world. It increased about 97% in terms of the value. And that's because they have risen in the ranks in terms of ease of doing business to one of the best in the English-speaking Caribbean right now. There's a lot of capital going on, a lot of business going on there. And a lot of that is because of the return to confidence. I mentioned the fact the exchange rate in Jamaica appreciated last year. That is unheard of, right? In Jamaica, a lot of it has to do with confidence, but it has to do with the ease of people being able to bring capital into the country to be able to invest in whatever sectors that we decide from a policy perspective we want to encourage, whether it be renewable energy, the creative sectors, etc. The challenge is that these are things that are not going to happen overnight. And while we continue to do them, the reserves continue to fall. And so we need the central bank's reserves continue to fall.
Corey,
exactly.
Corey, is that Shane that you have in the studio?
Yes.
You didn't need me?
You have a nice handy, all these boys here, 30 something years old, I am 64, we need people like you too. Oh my god, we need a wide range of views.
Because then they can say these young upstarts coming here and talking.
But the mere fact you say, so you really give him a boost in confidence across the listening population. No, not even me, for him personally, but it kind of, you know, as I said, they got this whole thing about youngsters in Barbados. As a Korean, they will know about that.
Thank you, Dr. Masco. But these things are not going to happen overnight.
Go ahead, Shane.
I'm just saying these things are not going to happen overnight, and you need to have the policy space that if you only have $410 million in reserves, you're going to have to find some way to bolster the reserves over the next year or two so you don't run out. Because the reserves and the fear of devaluation also creates uncertainty. And that is where a short-term or medium-term loan from one of the multilaterals, like I mentioned, the CDB, the IMF, the World Bank, etc., can provide that space and that improved credibility to encourage the investment that you need to see.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I want, since you're saying you're close to wrapping up, Corey, I want to say something here, which is that until any government, this government or any other, start to speak about growth or any growth strategy, I think I'm going to have to zone out. Because if they're only going to speak about debt consolidation and speak about how we can save the foreign reserves, I know it's just going to contract the economy further, which is not going to get any growth out of it, and which is not going to stimulate or incentivize anybody to invest or get any kind of confidence in the economy. Because confidence shows that, as Clayde said earlier, and even Mr. Odo said earlier, I'm not sure if he's a doctor or a mister, but as they said before, you have to attack from both fronts. You can't defend and attack. Yes, you have to defend your foreign reserves, you defend on the local side, but then you have to attack the exports. And I think, as a trade unionist, I have to include in here that any growth strategy, if it must be sustained, must be a pro-labor wage policy. I mean, we cannot put measures in place that stifle demand and productivity. Yes, I agree that workers must be productive. There's also been a much, as we say, debate about this increase in productivity, where the Prime Minister was with the man of productivity last year. I mean, evidence suggests that there's more emphasis has been placed on the effects of increased wages over productivity movement. The lack of wage increase, though, and the increased burden of the debt and inflation, you know, personal debt, household debt, as we talked about credit earlier, it cannot be expected that you will find optimal productivity or workers be very productive or even be happy in the workplace. And you know, so all this talk about you can fire workers, you know, workers are not productive, you are not even again incentivizing them or asking them to be confident. You're projecting a whole heap of negativity to workers. And if you get down to brass tacks, I mean, there are people. Workers are people. Mm-hmm. These people have
that whole idea of 4,500 to go looming over
4,500 individuals with families and mouths to feed and food to buy and kids.
All right, Mr. Producer, we got time to left. Mr. Ola, get your last word. Mr. Ola, producer gives you the last word. Go ahead. Well, you're going to take that last word. I'm going to take it. I want to thank everybody who would have called and made the program what it has been. I mean, it's been really an informative program. I say it's usually not very often I go over to 3 pages of writing. I got a lot of notes from this program. Thank the callers. Sorry to those who didn't get to the WhatsAppers. Sorry again. But we're definitely going to have to do more of this in the coming weeks, in the coming months, in the coming years to make sure that Barbadians understand the economic positions. Don't let us just be a talk shop. Use these points when those people come and knocking at your door to ask them some of the pointed questions we need. Thanks to Ian Cupin-Gill. Thanks to Shane Law, Asakori Beckles, Philip Odell, Dr. Maskell, and everybody who made the program. And of course, thanks to Williams Industries Incorporated. I've been your host and moderator, Corey Lane. Do enjoy the rest of your day.
You do not have to be a roofing expert to know that a metal sheet will rust where it is joined. That is one reason why the beautiful Permaclad U-Panel and R-Panel roof sheet sold at Williams Metals will outlast other roofing materials. Permaclad, colorclad, and corrugated sheets are cut to the exact length that you will need, up to 40 feet and even longer. That means no joints from ridge to eave. Colorclad sheets come with a factory painted finish in white, blue, green, red, brown, and yellow, and are fitted with screws for added resistance, tested to withstand high winds up to 130 miles an hour. Get a rail roof supplied at competitive prices. Delivered to you today from Williams Metals. Simply call Williams at Kane Garden St. Thomas 425-2000 or Lowlands Christ Church 428-2000.
1500.
Visit their website at www.williamsmetals.bb.